Good morning, everybody. Well, this is great, isn't it? As one of our band, let's give the band a hand. Aren't they great? So thankful, Brian. I love you for blessing us this morning. I'm excited to get to be here to share with you today. How many of you are regulars? How many are regulars? Oh, wow. I'm preaching to the choir here, the regulars. How many are visitors? Great. I'm not the regular preacher, okay? So don't look for me next week. The regular preacher will be back, but I'm glad to be here this week. So all of you regulars, we're going to welcome the visitors, right? We're glad they're here. Thank you for coming to be with us in this most beautiful church you'll ever visit. Isn't this great? As one of the band members told me before we started, this is that updated technology where you have stained glass that looks alive, you know, all around you here. So I know you're going to be very blessed this morning by all of this. Happy Father's Day. Great day for us to be together. So we're going to talk a little bit about fathers and the Heavenly Father and just let the Lord be with us in this time. I want to share with you just a couple of passages this morning that come from Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and through 31. And it says this, "Are not two seagulls sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the Father's care?" Oh, I'm sorry, that's sparrows. I'm sorry. I'm, you know, if Jesus were here, that's what he would have said. I'm sure that's the words he would have used. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground without the Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid, because you are worth more than many sparrows. Thanks be to God for his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, I pray that you would speak and let us hear from you during this time as we've met together on this early morning here to worship you in song and then, Lord, to listen to your word be revealed. We just pray, Lord, that your spirit's going to be very much a part of us being here. And may we be blessed through this entire day because we got here early and were able to worship early this morning and to sense your presence in our own lives. In Christ's name, amen. Well, you know, they say that there are four stages of fatherhood. You can kind of tell that a little bit just by what fathers are called. For instance, in the beginning, when children are little, they'll call us Dada. That's kind of the first thing they can say, Dada, Dada. And later on, though, they get a little bit older and they call us Daddy. And then, you know, they get a little bit older, like teen years, and they think they're just too cool to say Daddy anymore. So they start calling us Dad. And then they call us for money. That's the fourth stage. I'm getting some amens up here. I don't know about out there or not. Today, happy Father's Day. And this is a very, very special day as we meet together to celebrate fatherhood, but also to celebrate Christian fatherhood. That the fact that many of you are here because you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you've invited Christ into your life, and you know that you have a very important role. Responsibilities have changed over the years. Now, men have much more responsibility than they used to in the home, mostly because women work outside the home now. And so men are not only breadwinners in the family, but they also take a lot of responsibilities at home as well. No more are we like the fathers of the 50s where, you know, you had the king of the castle, you know, and that's not the way it is anymore. In fact, I heard a story of a little boy that was playing around in the kitchen, and the mother was very aggravated about that. She kept fussing at him and saying, "Now you need to get out of here because you're going to break something, you're going to knock something off." And in a few minutes, of course, in his running around, he knocked the dish off the counter where she was preparing the evening meal. Oh, she was so mad about that, and she did like me. She grabbed one of those wooden spoons. I don't know what you used, but I used one of those wooden spoons, and it could scare my kids to death. I had three boys. I broke a lot of those spoons on those little guys, but she took that wooden spoon, scared him so bad, he went running outside, and he climbed up under the house. So in a few minutes, the father came home, and she said, listen, she said, "John was running around here. He broke this dish. I'm still cleaning it up. It's messing up dinner, making us run late. You need to go. He climbed up under the house. I cannot get to him. You need to go out there and get him out from under the house." So the dad goes out there, and he starts crawling up under the house, and he's going, "John, John, where are you?" About that time, he hears a little voice in the corner saying, "Psst, Dad, over here. Is she after you too? No longer the king of the castle, folks. But we are Christian dads with very special responsibilities and very special roles to nurture our children, to support our spouses, to continue to be a breadwinner in the family as well, but also to have spiritual responsibilities in the household, along with the mother, of raising our children in the way that we would have them go. The family needs us more than ever. Society continues to change. Things are changing around us all the time. And we are needed more than ever in our children's lives. Jesus always used the image of a father. He used the image of a father talking about his heavenly father. And he called God father or dad. He'd say Abba, father, dad. Very warm, very friendly greeting from Jesus to the father. And he also had an earthly father, a father named Joseph that God gave him to help raise him. And that earthly father took a lot of responsibility in Jesus' life as well. It was the Jewish father's responsibility to teach the children the scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures, they would have lessons with their children. And they were told to even talk to your children along the way about what the Word of God says. So they would, even when they were walking and talking, taking their children out, playing, whatever they were doing, they were constantly teaching their children. And the Jewish father took that responsibility to teach their children those Old Testament traditions and lessons of the Jewish faith. Also, the Jewish father would take responsibility to teach their child a trade, which is why Jesus became a carpenter, because Joseph was a carpenter. And in later days, Jesus also learned that trade, and he became a carpenter as well. Jesus loved both of his fathers, his earthly father, who had a very big influence and a very, very big role model in every way in his life. And we probably don't give Joseph enough credit for the influence that he had in the life of Jesus and in who Jesus was prepared to become. We talk about Mary a lot, but Joseph gets a lot of credit in that as well. We just don't hear a lot about that in the scriptures. But Jesus loved his earthly father, and of course, he loved his heavenly father and often put great emphasis on that. And he wanted us to know how very much the heavenly father loves us, which is why he said to us, sparrows are important to the father, but not one of them will fall to the ground without the father being aware of it. Now, if that's the case, you are much more valuable than the sparrows in God's eyes. And he even knows the very numbers of hairs that you have or do not have on your head. God knows the number of hairs in each one of our heads. That says how much God loves us and how much he knows about us. A second grader once asked his teacher, "How much does the earth weigh?" And she said, "Well, I'm not quite sure about that." But, you know, she Googled it because you can find everything on the computer. And you know it's true because, you know, if it's on the Internet, it's got to be true. So she goes on the Internet and she looks it up and she says, "Well, it says here that the earth weighs 6,000 million, million, million tons." Said the second grader. "Is that with or without people?" Very important to realize that people are there, because in the midst of this little bitty planet, and if you think about it, the earth seems very big to us, but in the eyes of God, we're just one planet in the universe, in all of the universes. And there's just planets and stars and suns and moons out there everywhere, and we're just one little planet. And on that one little planet, there are specks that are people. And yet God knows all about us, everything about us, what we think, and I wish sometimes he didn't, but what we think, what we feel, what we say, what we do, God knows it all. God knows everything because he loves you that much to know your life, even to the point that he knows the very number of the hairs on your head. That's how very special you are to God, our Heavenly Father. But wait just a minute. As we listen to this passage, there's something kind of troubling in there too, isn't it? As he talks about the sparrows, there's a troubling truth to all of this because he talks about the sparrows fall from the sky. So in other words, the sparrows have their trouble. The sparrows have their problems, and I know that they do. I've seen it happen before. I've seen planes that have not been able to take off because birds got caught up into the engines of the plane and grounded the plane. I've watched as I've seen these big hawks at times would go after the little sparrows in the sky. Have any of you ever watched that and seen, you know, a large hawk trying to capture the little sparrow? So, you know, these are good, sweet little innocent birds, and yet they're having troubles and struggles. And then there are those storms and those hurricanes that come and misplace animals, and they can't, they're driven away from their natural habitat. My father owns and runs a fish camp down in Lower Alabama. We never see seagulls down there, but after a hurricane, I've seen seagulls line the shores of the rivers. And why? Because they've been driven out of their natural habitat because of the hurricane. Sparrows have problems. Sparrows have trouble, yet we are told that not a single one will fall from the sky without the Father being aware of that, our Heavenly Father. Sparrows, innocent, sweet little sparrows, fall from the sky. In the book, The Bridge of St. Louis Ray, written by Thornton Wilder, it talks about a pestilence that comes to a village. And there's a priest in this village, and his name is Brother Juniper. And Brother Juniper cannot understand why this tragedy has come to the village. And especially as he begins to observe the people who are dying there and the people that are living. He noticed that many of the people that were good people were the ones that had died. And many of the people who had not lived a good life, they were the ones that lived. And he even reckoned in his own mind that those that had died were seemed five times more worthy of living than those that had died. Why? Why? And as he struggled with this, we finally come to an understanding that God doesn't stop the struggles of life. God's love doesn't stop all the struggles and all the troubles that we have in life. In fact, it's said very clearly in Matthew 5:45, the sun shines on the evil and the good. And the rain falls on both the just and the unjust. Life is happening all around us. The good and the bad, we're all together here in this world together. And the rain shines, the rain falls, and the sun shines on all of us. We cannot stop the struggles of life. Oh, parents wish that we could. As fathers and as mothers, we wish we could stop the struggles in our children's lives. Don't you wish sometimes you could just build a bubble or a wall or a fence around your children and just protect them from everything? And you could keep all the bad out and you could just let all the good come in and they would just have this glorious, wonderful life and live to be older people and everything would just be perfect and wonderful? Don't you wish you could do that for your children? I know every father here today wishes they could do that for their children. Because we hurt when they hurt. If they're hurting, we're hurting. If they get abused in any way or their life is mistreated, we become angry about that because we know that that's not fair, that that's not right for them. If they go through a crisis, they may go in there and go to sleep, but we're going to stay up all night worrying about them because that's what we do for our children. Why don't we just stop and trust God in all of these things? Why don't we stop the bad things happening in their lives? Why don't we do it? Because we know that that's what helps us to grow. That's what helps us to become adults. All mature Christians understand that hard times are going to come to everybody, even to our children, no matter how much we wish that we could protect them. Obstacles seem to produce character. In fact, it says it in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. We should glory in suffering. What? We should glory in suffering? Yes, glory in suffering. Why? Because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. We want that for our children, don't we? We want them to have character. And character produces hope. So how do our children build hope in their lives? How do they get a positive attitude about looking forward to the future? It's because of the struggles that they go through. They will eventually grow and come to the point of having hope in life because they can put their faith and their trust in a God that will always be there to watch even the sparrow fall from the sky. You remember the story of Job. You know, we wish that the Father's love could protect us from all of life's problems, but life's problems are there. And we even sometimes, I think that God is punishing us for that. you know? And that's just absolutely not true. One of the things I really want to establish today is that struggles and troubles in our life are not punishment that God is placing upon our life. And I go back to the story of Job. Look at the story of Job. Job was a good man. Job didn't do anything wrong in the eyes of God, yet he started going through all of this trouble. And the friends were saying, certainly you did something wrong. You have sinned. You need to just confess that. You need to just go ahead and confess that you sinned. And Job just said, I don't know what it was. I don't know what's caused this. And eventually they come to understand that this is just something that God is putting Job through. But it's something that he is learning a lesson in. But it's not something that was brought about because of anything he had done in his life. People will suffer, and it's just going to happen. But we don't need to add guilt on top of the suffering and struggling. So we don't always need to just stop and think as Christian people, this must be something we've done wrong, that God is trying to punish us in our lives. Here's where the cross is so crucial for us to understand. This is the reason Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died that we would have eternal life. Jesus died that we would have forgiveness of our sins. Jesus died that we could be set free so that we could have a relationship with God and come to trust in God and have eternal life. That's why the cross is so crucial. We have grace in our life. God's grace, God's unmerited favor, and every good thing that happens in our life is probably given to us and we don't deserve it anyway. Because who are we and what have we done to the point that we deserve anything really good in our life? And yet God does love us and forgive us and desire to put his grace in our life. And he sets us free. But we do suffer still. And sometimes we suffer because of sin. We will suffer consequences of the things that we do. If we go out and abuse our bodies, we're going to pay for that with bad health. If we decide that we're going to evade our taxes, you know, we're not going to pay our taxes, and we're probably going to have somebody knock on our door someday and try to take us away until we pay those taxes. There are consequences of the things that we do wrong. Sin has its own consequences. But God is always there for those of us who've given our heart and our life to him to offer forgiveness and grace. This is not God bringing about the bad things in our life. It's just not consistent with the nature of God. God is love. God loves his people, and God does not desire bad things in his people's lives. However, when the sparrow falls from the sky, he does know about it. And he does know about how many hairs you have on your head. Therefore, he knows everything that's going on in your life. And he's not out to punish you. He's just out to try to bring you closer to him. One father, Henry Fonda, you probably remember him, the actor from way back, had children that became actors, and he didn't want them to. He didn't want them to go into that field because he knew how hard it was. And he tried to resist encouraging his son when he went into acting. And when he would go to one of his performances, he never would compliment him on anything. The mother and the sisters would say, oh, that was great, you were wonderful, but he never said anything. Finally, one day, one of the sisters criticized his performance, to which Henry Fonda stepped up and said, you be quiet. He was perfect in that part. Now, that's a father's image, usually, of his children, is that we think that, you know, our children can be perfect. At least we'd like to think that they could be. In our eyes, they seem perfect. However, I've got three boys, and I know they're not perfect. I can see that. But we would like to think that our children are perfect in so many ways. But the truth is, nobody's perfect, and nobody will be perfect, and nobody's going to have that perfect life. But that's why we trust God and trust our children into God's loving hands. The sparrow will fall from the sky. The good and the bad will people will experience good and bad things in life. It's the law of the universe, but we never fall in such a way that we're out of the view of the loving Father. I told you I had three sons. And sometimes I would stand back and listen to my children. You know, I would eavesdrop on their conversations. You know, I'd listen to what they were saying as they might be out in the yard or maybe they were talking with a friend. Sometimes I'd hear them getting an argument or I'd see them in a situation where it would be so tempting just to step in and try to solve everything. And I could solve it pretty quick. But I kept thinking to myself, you know, I need to just let them experience this. I was nearby, But I didn't step in and solve every problem. Why? Because I knew they needed to learn from those situations. But I was nearby. And I think about our Heavenly Father in that way. You know, God doesn't step in and solve everything for us, but He's always nearby. His watchful eye is always on us. He's always there seeking to take care of us. I heard a woman one time say that she was standing at the kitchen window, and as she was standing at the kitchen window, she was praying, and she heard God say to her, "Do you see the squirrel in the backyard?" And she looked and she said to God, "Yes, Lord, I see the squirrel playing in the backyard." And she said, God very clearly said to her, "So do I." You got to stop and think about that for a minute, don't you? "I see it too," God said to her. Which means what? Little creature, they're playing in the yard. God cares about it. God sees it. If God sees those little creatures, the little sparrows that fall from the sky, how much more important are you to God? That God's going to watch over you, even when you fall, even when you stumble, even when you struggle. I think about people like the Apostle Paul. What a great man he was, right? I hope everybody knows who the Apostle Paul is, but I won't assume that this morning. I'll just tell you, the Apostle Paul was one of the great followers of Jesus. One of these men who, once he gave his life to Christ, he didn't back down in any way. He developed new churches in every place that he went. And then he even wrote letters back to those churches, which we now call our scriptures, as we read in the New Testament. Many of those books he wrote. Now think about the Apostle Paul, one of God's great men of all time. Did he struggle? Did he have trouble? Well, let me read you from the Word of God what Paul wrote about himself. 5 times I have received the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I've been shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift out on the sea. On frequent journeys, I was in danger from the rivers, in danger from robbers, danger from my own people, and danger from the Gentiles. Danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, many a sleepless night. And in hunger and in thirst, I often went without food and cold and exposure. And on top of that, I have to worry about all the churches, he said. Is this man struggling? Is this a man of God? Is this a man who loved Jesus? Is this a man who served Jesus? Did he struggle? He absolutely did. But just a little further down, he wrote these words because he heard God say this to him. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And he wrote these words also in the same book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I love these words. They almost bring tears to my eyes. Listen to these words. We are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We carry the death of Jesus in our own bodies, that we may carry the life of Jesus in our bodies. Wow. Wow. We may have struggles and troubles on every side, but we are not, he said it 4 times, we are not defeated. Our God is with us. Maybe some of you have read the little book, The Yearling, about a little handicapped boy who died, and he had no preacher there, so one of the local men just said a prayer for him and listened to this person struggling with his faith in that. He says, "Almighty God, it ain't right for us to say what's right. But if we hadn't been making this boy, we would have made him, we would not have made him with his back bent and his legs crooked. We would have made him straight like his brothers. But somehow you made it up to him. You gave him away with critters. It comforts us to know that he's in a place where he is bent no more, and being bent don't matter. We would like to think that you have taken that bent back and those crooked legs and you've straightened them now. And Almighty God, if it ain't asking too much, we pray that you would give him some critters there to play with, maybe some birds and some squirrels. But thy will be done. Amen. We all would like to protect our children, wouldn't we? Fathers here today, we just wish we could protect our children from every struggle and every trouble. But we can't, because that's just a part of life. But God is aware when a sparrow falls from the sky. And he's certainly aware that we have struggles. And he's certainly aware that our children have struggles. And we can place them in the hands of a loving God. And someday we'll be in that place where we will struggle no more. Thanks be to God. But until then, I'm thankful that his eye is on the sparrow and that his eye is upon your children and his eye is upon every father and every person here. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you for loving us. We know, Lord, that the world has struggles and troubles. We don't believe, Lord, that you seek to intentionally put bad things in our lives. We feel, Lord, that rather you are there to seek to deliver us and to help us and to bring good from the bad. We pray, Lord, that we can trust you today as fathers, as mothers, as children. Oh, Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that your eye is on the sparrow, and certainly your eye is upon each one of us. In Christ's name, amen.